Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Adventures in .NET. I'm Sean Claybo, your host, and with me today, the two co-hosts, Weilu. Hey, Wei.
Hey, Sean. How you doing?
I'm actually, you're enjoying the last part of my vacation week, so I took vacation this week, which is a rare thing for me. So, I'm doing.
Did you travel?
Just staycation, doing things around the house that I normally don't.
Still, just as good, I think.
To do when I'm working. Yep.
Nice.
And I think I heard Caleb, our other co-host. Hey, Caleb.
I'm here. Yeah.
You're here.
First week of summer camp. It's been an adjustment for everybody, but it's been good. We got torrential rains earlier today, flooding all over the city, water spouts and fun stuff.
Yeah.
Sean, how's your finger?
Yeah, we're supposed to get a bunch of rain this weekend too. You know, for us, they call it, there's an atmospheric river pointed at us. So we're supposed to get between 2 and 3 inches of rain within the next couple of days. So that is quite a bit for our area. So, my finger is still bent. It will always be bent. So
I was hoping the doctor would have some possible options. But
no.
All right.
Let's bring in our guest. Our guest is Hamed. And I'll let you say your last name, Hamed.
Hamed Shirvandi.
Okay. Welcome to the show, Hamed. Why don't you tell us?
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Hey, folks. This is Charles Maxwood from Top End Devs. And lately, I've been working on actually building out Top End Devs. If you're interested, you can go to topenddevs.com/podcast, and you can actually hear a little bit more about my story, about why I'm doing what I'm doing with Top End Devs, why I changed it from devchat.tv to Top End Devs. But what I really want to get into is that I have decided that I'm going to build the platform that I always wished I had with devchat.tv. And I renamed it to Top End Devs because I want to give you the resources that are going to help you to build the career that you want, right? So whether you want to be an influencer in tech, whether you want to go and just max out your salary and then go live a lifestyle with your family, your friends, or just traveling the world or whatever, I want to give you the resources that are going to help you do that. We're going to have career and leadership resources in there, and we're going to be giving you content on a regular basis to help you level up and max out your career. So go check it out at topenddevs.com. If you sign up before my birthday, that's December 14th. If you sign up before my birthday, you can get 50% off the lifetime of your subscription. Once again, that's topenddevs.com.
Why don't you start off by telling us a little bit about yourself, how you got into development and how you got into .NET?
Yes. Okay. I'm Hamed Shirvandi. And I've been working in the software industry for about 8 years after university. And actually, I've been in love with .NET from the first days that I started my career in software development. And for about 8 years, I have worked in software industry, mostly as a freelancer, because I really don't like to work for companies. I like to work for myself. So there are a lot of challenges that I had to solve and make solution for them just by myself. So I think this is an excited way of learning stuff in this industry. You need to read books, you need to watch videos, but they are just theoretic information, and you need to make the best solution according to the to your situation, according to your project situation, for your challenges. And it, I think it is really good for me. And in my career, I have been working on many different applications as a freelancer, or sometimes as a team member, or sometimes by manage a little team. And after these years, I think I like to start my new journey in software development and learn other people how can solve their problem just by their own, without needing to be a part of an, for example, enterprise company. So that's it.
Okay, good, good. So we found you by reading about an article that you put on Medium that's about an open source project that you created. Can you tell us about that project?
Yes. Oh, yes, of course. As I said, I am a developer that learn everything about software development just by myself. So I think there are many other people, actually developers, that maybe like to learn some enterprise approach patterns and methodologies, but they don't like, or they can't be a part of a company to learn this approach. So I decided to start an open source project and named Taskomask. And the main reason for developing Taskomask and spending about 2 years is to show how we can design and implement a real-world application based on enterprise approaches and methodologies and patterns like DDD, event sourcing, CQRS, and TDD, BDD, and so on. Because you can learn everything about this approach by using some resources like books, like articles, like videos, but they are just theoretical information, I think. And it is really hard to you to start implementing something after reading a book. For example, after reading a book about DDD, it is really hard to you to start implementing something, for example, by using that resources. And I think the experience and knowledge of implementing this kind of approach and patterns and methodologies that they are really enterprise is hide behind the enterprise companies. And as a developer, if you like to learn, for example, DDD, you need to be a part of an enterprise company, because DDD is used in complex applications, and it is really hard to, for example, a book to cover a complex application, or it is really hard to learn how to implement, for example, DDD in a complex application in a video, because a complex application needs many logic. It needs to write many lines of code at it, and it is impossible to learn from a video or article. So I think there is just one way to learn, for example, DDD by using CQRS and event sourcing. And that way is having your own project. You need a project to practice your what you learn from the books and other resources, to see how can make the best solution by considering the situation of the project and about your problems, okay? Because there is a lot of solution for problems. For example, in DDD, about domain validation, we have three different ways, and each way can be used in some special situation. So you need to have a project. If you can't be a part of a team, you can have an open source project, practice on your project. For example, you can start with a simple domain and then make it more complex step by step and add some new challenges. And then you can look for some solutions about your challenge, and then you can learn more better. For example, if you like to learn DDD and how use event sourcing in DDD and how use CQRS in DDD and how you can implement DDD in, for example, a clean architecture and so on. So I have tried to make a good source for people, actually for developers who like to practice their knowledge about DDD or other approach and patterns, and they can use my open source project as a reference for their own projects. And that is because that is I have tried to collect some different solutions for problems around DDD and even sourcing CQRS and so on, just to be a good reference for developers, you know. And now I see many developers send message for me, and they say how my project helped them to learn new stuff and practice them in their own projects.
I think we can all understand what you've gone through using books and videos and trying to learn from them, because they only get you so far, right? And in a lot of cases, they'll even say, you know, don't use this in production. So you kind of have to learn the specifics of your use case as you go.
Yes.
What was there something, there was an impetus or something that prompted you to start creating this a couple of years ago?
Yes. Can you ask your question again? Sorry.
Yeah. So you told us a little bit about the application and some of the functionality. What made you decide to create this open source project?
Oh, okay. I remember a few years ago, I started to learn about DDD, and I read some books. And after that, because I was a freelancer and I wasn't a part of any team, so I had to learn how to implement DDD in a real world project. So I start searching around the web for an application to use it as a reference to see how this stuff implemented in real world application. But every time I search for a project, I just saw some small example. And you know, DDD is used for complex projects, and how you can learn it just by, for example, a domain that it contains just one entity. So I saw many references about DDD and CQRS, but they were really, I don't know, poor, you know. So I decided to start my own project, learn new stuff in it, and then make it as a reference for other people around the world. That's it.
So what does TaskoMass do? I mean, if you know, people want to get in there, but you know, what does it actually do? Is it a usable product for somebody to do something with it, or is it just to look at ways of developing and organizing and architecturing an application?
Sorry, can you ask your question again?
Yeah, what does TaskoMass do, you know? Or is it just a project for learning ways to implement patterns or architecture?
Actually, when I decided to start a project, I needed to choose a complex domain. So I just tried to choose a domain that is clear to develop, because I managed my task on Trello that days, and I just think I can develop something like Trello, but actually I didn't want it to be used on production. I just wanted to be used for learning, to be used, for example, like a resource for other people.
Hi, this is Charles Maxwood from Top End Devs, and lately I've been coaching some people on starting some podcasts and, in some cases, just taking their career to the next level. You know, whether you're beginner going to intermediate going to advanced, Whether you're trying to get noticed in the community or go freelance, I've been helping these folks figure out how to get in front of people, how to build relationships, and how to build their careers and max out and just go to the next level. So if you're interested in talking to me and having me help you go to the next level, go to topendevs.com/coaching. I will give you a 1-hour free session where we can figure out what you're trying to do, where you're trying to go, and figure out what the next steps are. And then from there, we can figure out how to get you to the place you want to go. So once again, that's topendevs.com/coaching.
It's a Trello clone, so to speak, but you're using a lot of patterns and practices that you would see in an enterprise.net application.
Yeah. Actually, I like people to see, for example, how we implement something like Trello by using DDD, CQRS, event sourcing in a clean architecture, for example, by using Blazor, how we can test this kind of application, because everyone knows Trello and like to know how it's implemented. Okay, so I try to show people how we can develop something like Trello by using this, enterprise approach and patterns.
So what were some of the most valuable patterns that you learned building this project?
So if you have a look on the Taskomask documentation in GitHub repository, you can see many patterns, many tools, many approaches, about test design, about BDD, about DDD architecture, and how to use, for example, Blazor for its web client, how to use web API, MVC, and so on. During developing this project, I make some challenges for myself to learn new stuff. This project helped me to find solutions for my problems. Okay, it helps me to improve my skills in programming at the first and show the result of my searching to the other people. For example, I see many people are confused about how to test a project that it is used DDD, for example. So by looking in my project, you can see one approach is to test aggregates, and you can see how I can, for example, made a fixture, how I set up a fixture for aggregates, how I test them, how I made test doubles for testing domains. And for example, I see many people are confused about the difference between value objects and entities, for example. And you can find many examples in my project about value objects and entities and so on. So at the first, this project helped me to learn how to implement what I learned from the books and the other resource. And the second, this project can help the other developers to know how to, for example, implement a test, or how to, for example, use MVC Blazor in such applications.
So I think everyone should always have some sort of a side project. I think it's what you've done is really, really great to for learning. Did you just want to tell us a little bit about like what DD is? Like what are the benefits? What does it stand for? And yeah, how does it work?
Yes. Actually, DDD is an approach that help us to implement and manage and maintain complex projects. DDD has three parts to implement and manage complex business, and those parts are, at the first, strategic design. And strategic design contains some process like dividing the main domain into some subdomains, and we have some subdomains like generic subdomain, supporting subdomain, and core domain. And in a strategic design, we make ubiquitous language, and we define context map and how those context maps communicate each other. And after that, we have tactical design. And in tactical design, we implement detail about subdomains and actually about bounded contexts. And we can use some patterns in this context, like, for example, aggregate, some building blocks like entity, value object, events, and specification, and so on. And after that, when the strategic design and the tactical design is ready, we can speak about the technologies and start implementing them. It actually, DDD help us to collect the business logic in one place and make it easy to maintain and make it more clean. So DDD isn't an architecture, but it after this all years, DDD is used many good patterns like event sourcing, CQRS, to be more, I don't know what to say, to be more, I don't know, easy to manage business logics, but it has some good practice for using it in architecture. It is not an architecture, but when you want to use DDD, you have to put your domain model in architecture. And DDD has some, for example, practice and contract about architecture. For example, in application service, we made a request and the domain respond our request, you know, and it helped us to make it more easy to maintain, because when you use DDD in your project, you can't write your business logic everywhere. So each part in your architecture do its some specific works, and yeah, that's it.
So you mentioned several patterns that work well, yes, with DDD. One of them is the specification pattern.
Yes.
I wanted to get your opinion on that versus using a repository. And the reason is we're actually building out a new platform at my job for the back end, and we're deciding whether we want to use specification or repos. Can you tell us a little bit more about specification?
Yes. I have a question at the first, and that is, repository is a pattern for work with data, and specification is a pattern to make it easy to work with work with rules. For example, you have many conditions in your entity, for example, and for example, you have an if statement, and there are many. And by looking at the code, you cannot understand what it means. So you can use a specification pattern to make it more readable. For example, in your entity, you have many conditions, and they are just one to check, for example, check the state of object and do something. But it is really hard to understand by looking at the code. So you can use a specification pattern and choose a human readable name for its class and move all of those validations into that specification class. So I don't understand your question about difference between repository and specification.
Well, and we don't have to get into detail, but our backend architect was looking at, yes, using specifications instead of repositories for talking to the database. he's created some generic methods and specifications that are reusable. And we were looking at that as an option. But I see what you're saying from the DDD standpoint. You're using specifications as kind of a layer to help manage rules and validation without getting lost in the code, so to speak. And that makes sense.
Yeah. You need me to explain more about that?
No.
So have you been able to apply all these patterns that you've learned in this project to your daily work? Or some of them are kind of a little more, you know, special that you don't use them all the time?
Actually, using patterns and approaches and implementing solutions for problems are dependent on this current situation of the project. So, for example, in TaskMask, all of the patterns I used is by the situation of the project. And in my daily project, maybe I use them or maybe not because of the situation. And as I said, this project try to be a resource. So in many parts of the project, I have tried to bring more than one solution for a problem. For example, I tried to show how to use anemic model and, for example, how to use rich domain model. And they are two different ways to implement a domain model in DDD. And I try to show developers when they should use anemic domain model. And I see many developers think anemic domain model is, for example, anti-pattern or it is bad to use, but it's not true. For example, if you have a generic subdomain or maybe a supporting subdomain, it is not so important in your project. So it is not necessary to spend more time for it. So you can use an anemic domain model. And this is not bad always. It depends on your domain model. And so maybe in my daily project, I never use anemic domain model. I don't know. But I just try to show a different solution of how to implement them in a real world application.
I was going to ask, I've looked at your project and you have a good bit of documentation out there. Are you looking for people to come in and expand on that documentation or to help you work on TaskMask, adding features and functionality?
Yeah, actually, it is really good to have some other contributors because it is really hard to maintain such a complex application. As you see, I have been developing it for about 2 years. And, you know, it is really hard to find new developers who like to contribute on a project because it is really hard for them to read the documentation, read the source code. It is a kind of complex project, but I have made this documentation for people to easily use my resource. But I'm always happy to see people like contribute in my project. And as you see, there are about five or six, developers who contributed in my project. I like to see other people join in my project.
So is this project in your mind, you know, mostly finished, or do you have plans for it to be added onto in the future, things to do to it?
Actually, I have a plan for it. If you see my comments on GitHub for this repository, you can see I started on CQRS at the first, and after that I worked on DDD, and after that I worked on its web client. I worked on Blazor, and after that I worked on testing. I tried to implement testing and cover the application by some level of testing, for example, unit testing, integration testing, and specification testing, like API testing and UI testing. And the new plan that I have for this project is to start. This project is developed on a monolithic architecture, and I want to divide it into some services and use microservices, because I see many developers asking about microservices and how we can use DDD in microservices, how we can test microservices. And I have some knowledge about microservices myself, and I have some other practice projects about learning microservices. And now I like to change the project architecture to microservices.
Okay. I think we're about out of time for today. So we'll definitely put a link to this project in the show notes. So if people want to check it out, especially I think it's really valuable to learn different approaches and technologies to use in their applications that they may have heard about but aren't that familiar with. So they can check out your code and maybe send you some questions or contribute some pull requests or things like that to you. So great.
Thank you.
Hey folks, if you love this podcast and would like to support the show, or if you wish you could listen without the sponsorship messages, then you're in luck. We're setting up new premium podcast feeds where you can get all of the episodes released after Christmas 2020 without the ads. Signing up will help us pay for editing and production, and you can go sign up at devchat.tv/premium.
All right, so I think we'll move on to picks. Caleb, what's your pick this week?
Okay, so my pick last week, I believe, was The Boys, season 3, right? And I've watched a couple of episodes, and I'm really enjoying it. It's very good. But this week is another TV show that's actually several years old. It's they're done with all the seasons. But the main character is the guy who plays Homelander in The Boys. You know, and he's a good actor. He does a good job. And Banshees, it's an interesting show. I think it was on a Cinemax or something. So there's, you know, there's a lot of adult themes and whatnot. But you know, I watched the first season and enjoyed it. And so I figured, you know, I'll make that my pick. The Boys and Banshee, there you go. Just do some binging over the weekend. Let me know if you liked them.
Okay. Why, what's your pick?
Caleb. Yeah, so it's funny that, because I wasn't here last week. This week, my pick was actually going to be The Boys.
Well, there you go. See?
Yeah, I started watching it last night, so... Yeah, okay. Yeah, I've only watched the first episode of the third season. It's pretty cool. So, yeah, that'll be my pick.
You know what your pick could be? Working for Microsoft, because that's what you're doing now.
Yes.
Congrats, by the way.
Thank you. Yes. So I started this week, so it's a bit of my dream job, I guess. Yeah. So far, everyone's, it's been really good. Everyone's been really nice and stuff.
Oh, real Microsofty cool. Now.
It's got a really good culture.
Yeah. Yes.
No MVP for you.
I know. That's my one regret. I'll never be able to get that now. So.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. So my pick this week is probably just going to be something really simple, and that is actually taking some time off. I have a hard time taking time off because I just know when I come back, things are going to be stacked up. And yeah, when I come back next Monday, things are going to be stacked up. But it was still worthwhile for me to take this week off and do things outside of work and not worry about work so much. You know, I did, you know, check in every once in a while to make sure that things were not burning down, but things are going okay. So my pick is just taking some time off.
Cool.
All right, Hamed, what do you want to let our listeners know about? What's your pick?
Yeah. Actually, I really like to use my pick time to say something that I think it's important for developers, because all of I did in my project is for developers who want to learn new stuff, actually enterprise approaches and patterns. And I like to say this kind of approach and the patterns are really about design, not about implementation. So they must stop thinking about implementation detail, and they must start to skill up themselves to be a software engineer, not a software developer. Because software developer is about coding. You just think about tools, frameworks, and you know, something like DDD is mostly about design. So that's what the people are confused about DDD and can't implement it, because they are mostly developer. And I just want to tell that you need to be a software engineer, and software, and the difference between a software engineer and a software developer is about time and scale and trade-offs. The software development is not just coding, and maybe you write your best code, but maybe it's not necessary. You need to write a code that it consider the time. For example, maybe after 3 years, you need to change your code. So your code must be really easy to maintain and easy to change. And you need to make your decisions when you write the code by considering the scale of your organization, scale of your team, scale of project, and maybe to manage the cost, you need to consider some trade-offs, okay? So all I want to say is to understand enterprise approach and methodologies and pattern, you need to be a software engineer, not a developer. Yeah, that's it. I think this is the best guide that I can show to people who are confused about implementing such enterprise patterns. Thank you.
Well, thank you. So if our listeners do have questions for you, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
My email is the best way.
Okay. And we'll put that in the show notes. All right. Well, thanks, for Hamed, for coming on the show and talking
I'm
about your project.
I'm always active on my GitHub account.
Okay. All right.
Thank you. Thank you, guys, for considering my project for your podcast. And I wish you all the best.
Okay, great. If our listeners would like to get in touch with the show, we'd love to hear from you. You can get at me on Twitter. I am at .NET Superhero.
Dun, 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 dun. And I'm at Caleb Wells Coates.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for another episode. We'll catch everybody else and our listeners on the next episode of Adventures in .NET.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Bandwidth for this segment is provided by CacheFly, the world's fastest CDN. Deliver your content fast with CacheFly. Visit CacheFly.com to learn more.
Are you loving Adventures in .NET? Want to help us cover the costs of putting the podcast out every week? Well, all you have to do is go to adventuresin.net, that's .NET.com/premium, and you can sign up to give us $9 a month. And what that'll get you is it'll get you those ad-free episodes, which is a better way for us to pay for the podcast than putting the ads in. You'll also be able to support the show in joining a monthly call where we get on and we talk about what topics you want to hear about, what guests you want to hear from, and we will be able to dive into further ideas about how we can make the show better. And lastly, it's just a terrific way to support the show and let the hosts know that you appreciate them. So go to adventuresin.net, that's adventuresin.net, .NET.com/premium to sign up.